Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
A man whose wife was killed in the Oma bomb has said he does not trust the Irish government to fully cooperate with the public inquiry into the atrocity. The process was set up by the British government to examine whether the bombing could have been prevented. Families have been continuing to give evidence about their loved ones who were murdered at the ongoing inquiry in Oma. Well, our reporter Una Kelly was there, and Una, Kevin Skelton's wife was killed that day. What did he say?
Kevin Skelton was delivering a pen portrait of his wife Philomena, or Mina as she was known, and towards the end he spoke about his thoughts on the inquiry process itself. "All I want is the truth," he said, and he said he trusts neither the Irish or British governments, and he does not believe the Irish government will fully engage with the inquiry process.
"But the Irish government, I don't know. I don't see them playing ball with this inquiry. And if they don't, then it's dead in the water, because at the end of the day, the bomb was made in the south. The people who built the bomb were from the south. The car was stolen in the south. The car was driven from the south and planted in Oma, and them boys driven back home again. And there's some of them still walking the streets."
That was Kevin Skelton there. The Irish government has repeatedly said it will fully cooperate with this inquiry, although said it would not be holding its own parallel inquiry. But this is now the pen portrait phase of the inquiry, so we're hearing about the people who died. And Kevin described his wife Mina, who was 39 and a mother of four children, as a homebird and a talented knitter. She dedicated her life to that talent and her family. She took in children from Romania for holidays during the summer. We were told that this was a demonstration of her kindness. She was in Oma with her husband Kevin and three of their children on the day of the bomb. Kevin had been in a different shop, and he described seeing the bomb go off and seeing buildings fold like books. He then found his wife Mina face down in the rubble. She was already dead. And he described to the inquiry digging through the rubble for his daughter Shauna, who he believed was with her. He said the sounds and smells of that day have remained with him.
And who else, Una, was commemorated today?
We heard about Vida Short. She was 56 and one of three women who were working in a draper shop in the town who were killed that day. The day before the bomb, Vida had just met her newest grandchild, Lee, and had held him, and there are photos taken on that occasion. She was described as a loving and caring wife, a mother of four children and a grandmother, an active member of her church and the Women's Institute. Her family said she had been taken from them in a brutal manner. They said our world shattered on the 15th of August, 98. Vida's children said that their father was a broken man. His world collapsed and he felt that he had nothing left to live for. They said they lost both parents that day. They said that their father became depressed, suffered from ill health, and then died in June 2004, age 64. His children called his death another tragedy of the Oma bombing.
The inquiry was also told about teenager Lorraine Wilson, who died alongside her good friend Samantha McFarland.
Yes, we heard the pen portrait of Samantha McFarland last week. Both of the teenage girls were volunteering in the Oxfam shop in Oma Town Centre that day. And we heard a statement that was read on behalf of Lorraine Wilson's mother Anne, her sister Denise and brother Colin by a lawyer for the family. Lorraine was just 15 years old, a joy from a young age, we were told. Easygoing, loved life and put others first. She loved cooking and from the age of 12 was making family dinners after school. She was academic. She had a flair for French, English, home economics and geography. She loved hockey and horse riding. And for her future, she wanted to travel, possibly to become an air hostess or a chef and travel the world. We heard that she was very sensitive to others, especially those with disabilities, like her younger brother, Colin. She actually made some toys for him. On the day of the bomb, Lorraine was working in the Oxfam shop with her good friend, Samantha McFarland. Lorraine's parents and sister, Denise, had gone into the town to meet her. They returned back because of a bomb scare, but they thought nothing of it at the time, they said, as they were used to it. Denise then described how she heard the explosion and saw smoke. They made their way on foot into the town and saw buildings collapsing in and people covered in debris, unable to speak. Denise then gave an account of trying to find Lorraine in the hospital, which they described as harrowing scenes with blood everywhere. We then heard about their long wait in the leisure centre where families had gathered. We heard that some people were being sedated and others were lying on the ground as they were waiting for news of their loved ones. Eventually, they were taken to a makeshift morgue to identify Lorraine, which they described as very traumatic. Lorraine's mother and grandfather had come into the room but were so upset they quickly left. Now, these are the words of Lorraine's sister, Denise. Her statement was read to the inquiry by lawyer to the family, Beth McMullen. And just a warning that some listeners may find this clip distressing.
My dad, brother Gary, and I remained in the room. We held Lorraine's hand, hugged her, touched her hair, told her how much we loved her. We could see her injuries from the shrapnel wounds, mostly to her face. The curtains around her were drenched in water and blood. We all broke down trying to grasp the reality of the situation we were in. It was very traumatic. It felt like all the air had gone out of the room. We were fighting emotionally with what had happened and our own emotions. And I just remember we kept saying, "This should never have happened." There was a little pool of blood in Lorraine's eye. And I remember Dad asking for a tissue to collect the little pool of blood. And he said, "This is all I have of you now."
And those are the words of Denise, sister of Lorraine Wilson, read by lawyer Beth McMullen. Denise in her statement then went on to describe how at Lorraine's wake, her school friends were so upset. The family who were grieving their daughter and sister had to comfort them. Lorraine was buried at Kappa Parish Church wearing her mother's wedding dress. Denise, in her statement, went on to say that the weeks, months and years after the bombing were the most difficult and that they had no specialist support for that particular situation. Denise said that their father cried so much he had ulcers in his eyes. He and one of Lorraine's brothers suffered severe mental health difficulties in the years after. In Denise's statement, she said not only were they dealing with the loss of Lorraine, but dealing with each other as a family, as they were all struggling individually. She said that it was hard on their youngest brother to watch their parents in the pursuit of justice. We were told it completely consumed Lorraine's father, Godfrey, until his death in 2018. We also heard that it was hard on the family to see Lorraine's friends progressing in their lives, and they couldn't help but think if only they could have seen Lorraine do the same. The family also said that they seldom experienced any bitterness in Oma. They said it was a mixed community where denominations didn't matter, and they said the support from the people of Oma was very much appreciated.
Finally then, Una, their inquiry was also told about another young person killed that day.
Yes, Julia Hughes was just 21 years old. We had a statement from her twin brother Justin and the family, which was read by a lawyer to the inquiry. We heard how Julia was just beginning to fulfil her potential before her life was suddenly and cruelly cut short. She was described as being small but with a fire that burned in her heart, someone who could be feisty when needed to be. At school, she was academic and into hockey and debating. We heard that she made friends easily due to being kind, funny and loyal. And many of those friends are still in touch with Julia's twin brother, Justin, to this day. Julia was studying accountancy at Dundee University. She was home in Oma for the summer working in Express Camera Shop. That's where she was when the bomb went off. She excelled on her university course but was denied the chance to graduate. After her death, Dundee University awarded her bachelor degree and presented it to her family in 1999. Julia's twin brother Justin described it as a huge honour, and it still stands on his wall. The university also introduced the Julia Hughes Memorial Prize, which is presented to a student who has overcome adversity. And on the 25th anniversary of Julia's death, her twin brother Justin presented it to the recipient. He said the family had not been able to face doing that until 25 years later. Julia's loss was described as insurmountable and that it shattered the family. Julia's grandmother passed away shortly after the bombing, dying, the family said, with what can only be considered a broken heart. Julia's twin brother Justin said, "She was my twin and now I am her voice." The inquiry chairman, Alan Turnbull, said Julia was yet another young person from Oma who was denied the opportunity to fulfil their obvious promise.
Una Kelly, thank you very much.